Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm in mufti this morning because it's too hot to put my robes on. I was at Holy Trinity this morning and I was absolutely... So there we go. So right, I've got some bands of marriage, so let's get those out of the way. It's good to see you all again. All looking summery and well. They tell me you've got an interregnum going on, is that right? That's your job, David. Okay, so let's see what we got. I published the banners of marriage between Joseph David Maher, single in this parish, and Lisa Tamara Barr, also single in this parish. These are for the second time of asking. If anyone knows any reason why these two may not be lawfully married, you are to declare it now. Do I take that, Graham, do I take that as an objection? That's the last thing I want today, first time back. So there we go. Right, okay, so let's see what we've got. Let's start our first hymn. 135. God is working his purpose out. 135. So we take up our order of service sheets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So we sit on you for our prayers. And we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let's confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. And we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so our collect for today, which is the fourth Sunday after Trinity. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So it's time now for our readings, and I think Sylvia and Alice are going to do those for us.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning to read at verse 9. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. Thanksgiving and prayer. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sylvie Nyson. So it's time now for our next hymn, another Sidney Carter one, When I Needed a Neighbour, 1604, When I Needed a Neighbour. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 10. Glory be to thee, Lord. A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." They said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him. When he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. When I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And so may my words in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do be seated. I guess if I were to ask you, I'll give you the first few words, and a robber was beaten and half dead, without telling you anything else, you would repeat to me, word for word, the Good Samaritan. It's one of those parables that I guess we, when in Sunday school or whatever, we learnt as children, and it sticks, doesn't it? That idea, this concept. And it seems quite a simple concept, doesn't it? The guy walks along, and two people pass by, the third guy comes along, and what have you. So Jesus, the lawyer, is asking questions. Now, in a sense, one guesses that from previous bits of the gospel, that he's trying to trip Jesus up. There's something there happening, and he's trying to trip Jesus up and really test him on the law. So Jesus asked him, how does he understand this particular bit of the law? "Love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And Jesus said, "Yeah, well done. Pat on the back for you, quite right, okay?" And then asked the second question, "But who is my neighbour?" And of course, the whole of the Good Samaritan parable is Jesus' response. Now, Jesus' message in the Good Samaritan story is very, very clear. Everyone is our neighbour, and we should love them. But what kind of love does that imply? For example, does it mean that everyone who needs medical treatment or financial support or any kind of support should receive it? And of course, in principle, we would say, yeah, absolutely. But then comes, certainly for us as Christians, the knowledge and the obvious thing that resources are limited, okay? We've got to draw a line somewhere. And some people are going to have to be defined as not being neighbours worthy of support. Others will be neighbours of support. For Christians, it's a very difficult concept. And I guess when you look at the television, and certainly in an hour the other week, when I was watching it, there were 6 charitable adverts taking place. There was one for Ukraine, there was one for water aid, and so on and so forth. And all of them very, very good charities, all of them very, very good causes. And of course, you feel a bit of a guilt, don't you, because you can't support them all. And this is what I think we carry with us when we hear this Good Samaritan story, that actually there are things that we can't support. Let's put it another way. What would have happened if the Samaritan attended the injured man and then got on his journey Then a bit further along, he came across another man who had been set upon by robbers and left for dead, and then perhaps even a third. Even he might have necessarily called it a halt. And, of course, he may too have had to pass by on the other side. But is this what the parable is saying? Just what does loving your neighbour mean? And our gospel reading makes it clear that the second of the two commandments that the lawyer said is consequential upon the first. If we love God, then loving our neighbour as ourselves is what we will do because we love God. It's a consequence of this first thing of loving God. By loving God, we'll love others on there. And so we have this dilemma. Human nature being what it is, we might just love only those neighbours who are lovable. But what about those neighbours who are not so lovable? And we all know those, okay? We've all got those who we think, oh, not again. I hear the laughter. I'm not alone, thank goodness for that. Or perhaps we only deal with those neighbours who we feel we have a personal responsibility for. The people perhaps who we're emotionally close to, maybe family, maybe the neighbour next door. But that small circle, by and large, is what we perhaps would refer to as our neighbours. But again, this isn't what the Bible is about. You look at the words. The Bible tells us that God loves everything and everybody, and he loves each one of us as individuals. And if we open ourselves to God's love, we too will feel loved and valued ourselves. And because of that, we will love our neighbour. Okay? If we're able to respond by reflecting God's love back to him by loving other people, we become part of a universal love which includes all of our neighbours, no matter who they are, those we love and those we don't love. Okay? And of course, this might include those people in third world countries, migrants, asylum seekers, all those, if you like, people that come into our lives who have a need on there. But again, riding at the back of all this is that common sense thing that tells us that resources are finite. Not only includes money, but also limited number of skills that people have. We can't deal with certain situations, or also the time factor as well. We haven't got time to deal with it, okay? So, in a way, we have got this dilemma of allocating finite resources. And there have to be limits, and we realise that as well. And sadly, what might be potential neighbours, be them migrants, be them water aid refugees, water aid, whatever it might be on there, they do fall sometimes to the bottom of our priority list. But does God care about this? And here's a paradox. Because we know that God's love is an infinite resource, even if we think about in a well-meaning way these different people in need, we're fulfilling God's love. So loving our neighbours is not necessarily, as it was in the Good Samaritan's case, providing physical resource. It's also feeding on and giving emotional and loving response as well. We can support things, for example, but we don't necessarily have to be massively involved in them. We can have it in principle support this or that or the other. So looking at our parable, this Good Samaritan who came along, he's got no thought of exclusion. He sees that there is more than enough love for him to share, and he does so willingly. And he does so with a Jew, and that's quite important in the parable, because the Jew is very much an enemy of the Samaritans. So he goes, whereas the Levite and the priest are both Jews, it's the outsider, the Samaritan, who comes and delivers love to that poor person who's been beaten by the robbers on there. And that's a real sort of insight for us as to how we can react on there. But however, this finite resource that we have, we know that we can only bind up so many wounds. We don't have a limited supply of denarii. And in many ways, the limits how many shirts we can give away, how many second miles we can go, and how many other cheeks we can turn, okay, that before we can actually give ourselves that feeling that we've done good by the person. So I suppose what it comes down to in this parable is the attitude we hold towards our neighbours. Okay? So attitude is an emotional response that we can have to what's going on in our lives. And by looking at the various things on television that you see, the floods and all that sort of thing, what's our attitude to it? Do we agree with migrants? Don't we agree with migrants? Do we love them? And I think that's what the key thing about the parable is. It's how we our attitude is in all of this. And how's our attitude in our prayers? Who do we pray for? Okay. Do we pray for the unloved as well as the loved? I don't know. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is about saying yes. Not necessarily with our wallets or our time, but saying yes, we love these human beings. We love these people who are in need. We will look after them in our prayers, in our love and our actions and our attitude on there. So having to recognise at the end of the day, there's this paradox between having loving our neighbour, but how much and what does that love mean on there? There's a paradox between that. And of course, God's position of we love everybody or he loves everybody on there. So the challenge for us is, how do we handle it? How do we handle this issue that we come up with? And of course, as we always do, we come back to prayer. We may not be able to provide physically for people, but we can provide by prayer. And so the whole basis, as I see it, of this Good Samaritan is about praying for our neighbours, making sure that we have an emotional feeling for them, we have an attitude to them. But our neighbours don't necessarily mean our close neighbours. And I think the big lesson for us all is, it's those neighbours who we don't love, the feel unloved, that we should be praying to on here. This is the postscript. John Stott, the theologian, put it like this in the commentary on the Good Samaritan. The perspective of this scripture is not about the survival of the fittest, but the protection of the weakest. The perspective of this scripture is not the survival of the fittest, but the protection of the weakest. And I reckon that in our lives, that's our aim, that we must protect the weak. Amen. And now I think we've got David going to do our intercessions. Thank you, David.
Let us pray to our God, in whom we can always trust. We pray that as Christians, we may take to heart the need to walk the talk and live out what we profess. We pray that nothing may get so important to us that it pushes God's values aside. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for all who have given help to us when we were down, for all who have supported us and protected us. We pray that your church may seek out and recover the fallen, that we may never avoid our responsibility and pass by on the other side. We pray today for the work of the Salvation Army, for city missions, and the work of the Samaritans. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for families or folk living alone, suffering poverty or financial difficulties because of the sharply increased cost of living. For those having to decide whether to heat or eat, and for those who have been forced to sell their cars to raise much needed funds. We pray, Lord, that we show practical love to those in need by, wherever possible, increasing the items we provide to the One Can Trust. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the work of the emergency services and ask your blessing upon the fire service, ambulance workers, the police and social workers. We pray for all carers and especially for doctors and nurses. We remember all who are down at this time and all near to death, especially if they are lonely and afraid. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for friends and loved ones who are ill, including those named in our service sheet today. For Paul and Jean Ricketts' daughter-in-law Amanda, who is currently undergoing chemotherapy for stage 4 cancer. And for Caden, following his brain surgery at the John Ratcliffe. He is now at home, but will need further treatment over the coming months. So please continue to pray for his grandparents, Elaine and Derek Carr, and of course his parents. But wonderful to hear that it's so far so good. We also should continue to pray for Steve and Debbie Taylor as Steve embarks on his final bout of chemotherapy. Gracious God, we pray for friends and loved ones who are ill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer for Ukraine as a horrific and unprovoked invasion of their country continues to bring more heart-rending evidence of brutal missile attacks on the civilian population. We pray for the innocent, the millions of women, children, and elderly men who have fled their country in an effort to save their lives. And we pray for the millions who remain and live in fear of the atrocities of war. For the chaplaincy of Kiev and the churches that serve Ukraine. And we join with them in praying for a ceasefire, a withdrawal of Russian forces, and for peace to prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now let us join together in the prayer Jesus taught us, in the traditional version. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we stand now to reaffirm our faith in the words of the Creed. Please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So it's time now for our peace. In Jesus Christ, we know God's forgiveness and peace. Let's share that peace with one another. And so in the peace of Christ, be with you. Do share the peace in whatever ways you feel safe. And for our next hymn this morning, a beautiful hymn, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. 381. So this morning I'm going to be using Eucharistic Prayer 4 on page 13. So Prayer 4 on page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please be seated or kneel. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us.
but came to meet it in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And so as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit this bread and this wine, made to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink his holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And so with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise. Lift our voice to join in the eternal song of heaven. Say together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." So we turn to page 17. And we say the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Amen. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Dear, may the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. And so on page 18, we do the prayer after communion.
Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that you met us in your Son and brought us home.
Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so for our final hymn this morning, At the Name of Jesus, hymn 32. And so, fathers, offer you these gifts for use in your service. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Let's just bow our heads for the blessing. And so may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, those whom you love and those whom you prayed for, this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.